Journal entry, March, towards the end of the month. I, Tom Swallaby, am on a mission, a great mission. I'm investigating the disappearance of Joe Pumpkin. Pumpkin was a prominent radical who bombed churches and the Republican convention. If alive, Pumpkin is 22, tall, with a milk-red blaze of shoulder-length hair. He has a long criminal record. At age 8, he was busted for stealing cigarettes and received psychological counseling. At 15, he was busted for dealing acid to 3 13-year-olds. They let him off with a warning. Age 15, busted selling condoms to grade school dropouts. Dismissed. Age 16, he gets kicked out of school for the semester because of a group sex incident. Age 16, drunk driving. Age 16, assaulting an officer of the law. Pumpkin is laid up in the hospital for 3 months. Age 17, arson, confined until 18. Age 18, refuses to shave. Age 18, busted for sodomizing a stripper at Love Buttons. Age 18, steals a police car and wrecks it into a donut shop and escapes. Age 18, two officers attempt to apprehend Pumpkin. He draws a concealed gun and kills them both. Age 18, statutory rape of a 17-year-old. Age 18, in prison for 2 months, he builds an explosive device out of prison food and escapes. Age 19, flees to Mexico, lives with Indians, and joins in their peyote rituals. Age 21, tours South America, sampling shamanistic herbs, and becomes a millionaire from some shadowy deal with a few hillists. Age 22, he returns to America with 30 pounds of resin from a shrub that white men have never seen. He distributes samples to the country's most brilliant underground chemists. He's involved in a violent gun battle with a SWAT team. 27 outlaws die, 20 SWAT officers, and 14 street cops. He escapes. Joe Pumpkin awoke with a dry, cracked mouth and a splintering headache. He sat up, wincing. Erratic snores could be heard from the next room. He plodded into the kitchen and made himself a health shake. He lit a cigarette and coughed, spitting up large, dark brown chunks and a little blood, too. He drank the shake in one drink and felt a heaviness overtake his limbs. He staggered back to bed and collapsed on his face. He heard snores from the next room, only to have it fade out as visions flew in his head behind closed eyes. In his dream, he is back in Mexico, stumbling through ancient ruins blasted on mushrooms. The statues all intricate images of impossible sex acts. A bolt of purple lightning lights up the dead city. He realizes that he is naked. The wind tickles his hair, short from his prison stay. My hair is short. I must be dreaming, he thought. He then flew off into the sky to meld into the pink of fleshy clouds. He had a half-hour dry orgasm and woke up to the sound of the front door being kicked open. Joe quickly got to his feet, assuming a defensive posture as he scrutinized the intruders. There were three of them, all in long black trench coats, sunglasses, and boots. May I ask why you have seen fit to bust my door down and trespass yourselves upon my sleep? Joe said, a faint sarcasm in his tone. Just then, his companion in crime, Dean Blaze, jumped out of the shower with a grease gun. The intruders opened their trench coats and went for their sawed-offs. Dean fired once. Two lay dead. The third was puking up his lungs. There's so much pain in the world, says Dean. Fuck, agrees Pumpkin. They search through the bodies and find $3,000. Each body had ID. They were DEA. Let's get high, Pumpkin says, as he breaks out some resin and packs it into a voodoo pipe with a shrunken head for a bowl. What's that stuff do? Blaze asked, his voice detached, but his eyes shining. Fuck if I know. Let's smoke some and bug out of here. They grabbed their meager possessions and headed out in the car, an inconspicuous-looking Oldsmobile. Joe drove and Dean loaded the pipe. As they reached the end of the driveway, another trench-coated DEA agent jumped out, flashing his gold badge and fumbling for his gun. Joe chuckled as the car's tires tore the trench coat and the agent to pieces. Dean pulled out his lighter and toked hard on the resin. Straining to hold in his hit, he passed the paraphernalia to Joe and then took the wheel as Joe took a big hit. They repeated this 4 or 5 times before Dean said he'd had enough. They kept driving until Cottonmouth overcame them and pulled into a convenient convenience store. They grabbed armloads of food and drink and walked out without paying. They forgot. The cashier came running, yelling. They cast him an irritated glance and sped off. What the fuck was his problem? Beats me. Think I'm gonna pack another bowl. He pulled a newspaper from the floor of the car and started to break off some resin when he saw the picture on the front page. When Bush comes on his general, people die. Holy shit, Dean thought. Fucking wild. He broke off a hunk of resin and packed the pipe and handed it to Joe. I've got to smoke very soon, Dean said, or I'll go mad. Joe drove and smoked, ignoring the whines of his companion. Meanwhile, in the local donut shop, two officers were sharing a huge mound of caffeine donuts, trademark. An urgent call comes in, an Oldsmobile, two psychopaths armed and dangerous within. The first cop, Carl Bacon, is tall and thin, excepting his potbelly. His grin makes his face a death mask. His partner and fellow caffeine addict, Bill Von Smudge, a grossly fat bulldog Nazi of a man, farted and polished his gun. I've got a feeling we'll see them soon. That government-controlled experimental marijuana field is too much of a damn temptation. Let's get wired and kick ass, Carl says, slamming another cup of coffee and washing it down with a donut. Drug. Tom Swallowby snapped an entire 36 exposure roll of film, photographing the 13-foot-high hemp plants. He had a strange sensation of energy. This'll get me big bucks when I sell the pictures to High Times. Just then, a police truck pulls up. Out steps Carl Bacon, grinning morbidly. Put that camera down and put your hands up. Tom drops the camera. Bacon shoots it, destroying it. Bill Von Smudge storms out of the passenger side, billy club flailing, Swallowby, who blacks out. My turn, Bill, Carl said. He began practicing his karate moves he had learned in the academy, using Tom as a punching bag. After about 15 minutes of that, Bill took over again, running loudly to punctuate each blow. From the midst of the hemp plants, four eyes watched the brutal, yet fun, scene in front of them. With a silent gesture, the two advanced on the unsuspecting pigs, big cement blocks in their hands, raised up above their heads. Without warning, the blocks smashed down into the heads of the protectors of justice, trademark. They quickly hit the ground, eyes bugging out of the back of their heads. Joe got out the resin and knelt next to Swallowby. He rubbed the resin into his wounds and on his bruises while Dean removed everything of value from the cops and their car. After about 10 minutes, Tom came to. Panic exploded in him, but after seeing Joe's calm visage, he relaxed and breathed heavily. Realization froze his features again. You're Joe Pumpkin, Tom blurted. That's a fact. Who might you be?
I'm Tom Swallowby, and I've been looking for you.
And why is that? Joe replied, fixing Tom with a cool, pouty stare.
I'm doing a story on you.
Oh, he moaned as he rose to his feet. You're a legend that will go down in the annals of time.
What for? Joe inquired.
What for? Why, you're the last of the true radical. All the others have been hunted down and killed, or set up on charges and put in jail. You're the very last one. You're it.
That's what for, Tom said with conviction. Wanna get high? Joe asked.
Yes, I need to, spattered Swallowby.
They buzzed off down the road, switching cars every 51¾ mile. Why don't you guys let me do a story on you? You know, American Radicals, Eye of the Storm or something.
Well, what's your background? Asked Dean as he rolled yet another banana-sized joint.
Chapter 2, Tom Swallowby's Past. Swallowby started as a journalist in high school. He published an underground paper called The Clock of Chaos. He was busted and put on probation, but he successfully operated a pirate radio station for 2 years.
The FCC found his equipment, but he was never caught. He landed a cameraman job in Colombia because he was considered expendable. Next, he covered KKK riots and a brutal revolution in Syria. His fame increased, and he began doing photo essays for Mother Jones, Rolling Stone, Playboy, and Boy's Life. NBC hired him to cover riots in America, and there he went to cover the Gulf War, and he claims the American military tried to kill him. He was fired and hated by the American people for his attempts at telling them the truth.
"Where are we going?" Tom asked.
"Washington, D.C., Joe said grimly. The clock of chaos chimed discord. Dean seemed to find this hilarious. He laughed, throwing his head back, long hair whipping about. Pumpkin pulled out a .45 and plugged three shots into the back of a cop who had some young girl pulled over. The pig died twitching as Tom's camera ate history.
"I'll be rich! I'll be rich!"
Wallaby gloats. They pulled into the 7-Eleven and stole some cigarettes and beer. Lurching back onto the road, they swerved left and smashed two motorcycle cops into the side of a brick building. Leather and gore flew into the open windows, as well as spattering the rest of the car. Joe and Dean cracked open a beer and clinked them together victoriously, while Tom's eagle eye captured everything.